I'm going to read from Luke chapter 1, and I'm going to read beginning with verse 26, but I'm actually going to read further than what it says in the bulletin. I'm going to read all the way through 45. So hear now the word of God. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came and said to her, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow with me? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. God sent the angel Gabriel to a young woman, a virgin. And the angel said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." And then Luke tells us, "But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be." It would be troubling, wouldn't it? It would certainly make you want to discern what on earth is happening when an angel shows up and tells you you're favored. You have been favored by God. Mary was an ordinary young Jewish woman. She has ordinary dreams and plans. She's going to marry Joseph, an ordinary construction worker. It's safe to say she was not expecting a visit from an angel. And now she's troubled and she's trying to figure out what on earth is going on. I want to ask you, what does it mean to be told you are favored by God? Well, first of all, it does not mean you are one of God's favorites. Well, you are, but in the same way as everybody else, right? The word favor in the Greek is derived from the Greek word is charis. It's generally translated as grace, but it has many shades of meaning, and one of them is surprise gift. When you reach a point in your life where you're pretty sure you know what ordinary is and you're pretty accustomed to it, the last thing you expect is God to interrupt your life with a surprise gift. And when the surprise first comes, it may not look like a gift at all. You might be at work one day and the boss says, I need to talk with you in my office. Or you're sound asleep at 2 a.m. and the phone rings. Or the doctor says, I don't like what I'm seeing. I think we're going to have to run some tests. A young woman wakes up one morning feeling a little nauseous. And like Mary, at first, you're greatly troubled. You wonder, what does this mean? The veneer of ordinary has been stripped away, and you don't know what comes next. Now, there's a number of different things that you can do. Our first impulse is usually to panic and try to assert control over the situation. And I'm just going to be Dr. Phil here and ask, how's that working out for you? The Bible, from cover to cover, tells us that it is in the unsettled and the confusing moments when our ordinary is shattered, when our life has been interrupted by events beyond our control, those are the moments when God intervenes with His grace, if we have open hearts to receive. Those are the moments when grace, the grace of God, goes to work. Those are the moments where we need to let go control and say, Lord, lead me. I don't know what to do next, but I'm going to trust you. The angel said, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb, and you will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. Now, Mary was an innocent young girl, 13, 14 years old. She's innocent, but she is not naive. She said, how can this be? I'm a virgin. A moment before, she was greatly troubled. Now she has to be terrified. Now, is this what it means to be highly favored by God? She's an ordinary young woman hoping to have an ordinary wedding to her ordinary fiancé, and now she's about to be pregnant. Now, had she been cynical, she wasn't, but had she been cynical, she might have said, well, thanks, Lord, for such a wonderful favor. The other women will shun me and spread rumors about me. Joseph will certainly refuse to marry me. And according to your law, Lord, I could be stoned to death. But if you want to go ahead and wreck my life, then I guess I don't have much to say about it. In artists' conception, many artists have depicted over the centuries the Annunciation. And Mary is usually depicted with a serene look on her face. I'm sure that that came later, but I don't think that's what's going on right here. How can this be? Have you ever said that? Your well-planned life has come off the rails. And you say, how can this be? You had no choice in the matter. A change is forced on you. Now, I don't know what that change is, but you do for yourself. Maybe it involves your job or your marriage or your children or your health. It's the kind of thing that puts a knot in your stomach and keeps you awake at night staring at the ceiling. And you ask, how can this be? Well, I think Mary would tell us to open up our hearts and open our minds to the thought that God is in this disruption. I'm not saying God caused the disruption, but Mary would tell us to open our hearts that God is in this, and God is at work for good. I don't mean that God made you sick. I don't mean that God made your marriage come apart. But Mary would tell us that God is up to something mysterious and good. And scary as it may sound, God might just be in this to save your life, to shape you into the person He created you to be. Now notice, the angel Gabriel did not ask Mary's permission. He just informed her. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, bear a child. He most emphatically does not say, you know, Mary, God was just thinking this would be a good time for the Savior of the world to be born. And He's hoping to use your womb. So He sent me here to run it past you. Well, what do you think? No. God, being God, is sovereign over all. And He has favored His servant Mary and chosen her. God takes control of our lives, and God will send you places that you didn't want to go. He'll give you gifts you didn't want, and He'll take away things to which you would rather cling. You think about it for a moment, that's exactly what happened to every person who was directly involved with the birth of Jesus. And that's what happens in our lives too, because God is good. And that's how His saving love gets birthed into our lives. Well, Gabriel responded to Mary's objection by telling her that the Holy Spirit would come upon her and she would conceive, and the Holy Spirit would conceive this child in her. In other words, Mary, God is in this interruption of your life. And that was enough for Mary. And she gave one of the most powerful affirmations of faith in all the Bible. She said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as according to your word. This is the final and crucial step in receiving life's interruptions. Choose to embrace them. God will lead you on a journey from wondering to terror and finally to embrace. And you can only make that journey if you know that God is in it, if you trust that God is in it. Now, let's be clear again. Every interruption in life is not from God. If you have a friend who's going through a tragic derailment of life, if you are in a tragic situation in your life right now, please know I'm not telling you that this is the will of God that this happened. I don't know that. You don't know that. But we do know that God is more powerful than anything that can come into our lives. I was reading recently one of my heroes I've been going back to. I read him years and years ago. I've been going back to a wonderful Christian writer named A.W. Tozer. And some of you have probably also been blessed by his writing. He said, let's stop saying that we have a big God. Big, he says, is a relative term. We don't have a big God, we have an infinite God. Nothing can come into our lives that God cannot redeem, that God cannot work for good. God can conceive hope in the midst of every tragic loss. And this is good news only if you choose. You have to first give up the illusion that life is what you make it, and choose instead to see life as an unfolding story that God is writing. And God will write a better story for your life than you ever could have dreamed up. So, at this point, Mary has no idea where this interruption of her life is going to lead. She knows very little about this child that's going to be born. She doesn't know that He will both break her heart and save her soul and all the world. At this point, she doesn't even see how giving birth when she's not married could possibly be good news. All she knows is that God is in it, and that's enough for her to say, I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me according to your word. Now notice, in Luke's narrative, the first person that Mary goes to is not Joseph. She doesn't go to her parents. She goes to her relative Elizabeth, who also has been blessed by a pregnancy when she thought she was far too old. Another kind of surprise gift. It has been said, and I love this, it's been said that the very first Christian church gathering was when Mary went to see Elizabeth. It was the first gathering of the church because it was the first time that believers came together in the presence of Christ. And we also are the beneficiaries of that promise, that every time we come together in the name of Jesus, He's here. Luke tells us that when Elizabeth saw Mary, little John the Baptist did a cartwheel in her womb. He leapt for joy. And then Elizabeth asked, "And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Why me? You know, we are a people who we really want to make sense out of our lives. We want cause and effect explanations of why life turns out the way that it does. But usually the explanations just are not there. Trying to explain life is another way of trying to control it. Let it go. One of the central messages of Advent and Christmas is that we're not in control. As with most of our why questions, Elizabeth gets no answer. Instead, her why me just evaporates as the joy inside her leaps at the coming of the Christ child. Now, why you? Why has God chosen to interrupt your life with the gift of a Savior? It's not a bad question, but it's not very useful. The only thing for us to do is let go of our illusions that we are in control and receive the Savior, Jesus, who has come and will come again. Amen. Let's bow together for prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your birth among us. And we thank you for the way that you interrupt our lives. Moments not of our choosing, but of your choosing. In your mighty grace. We thank you especially that in your mercy, you come in those times of interruption that are painful and that may seem at first to us to be the worst thing that might have happened. But you, Lord Jesus, in your mighty mercy and grace, are always at work to redeem, to forgive, to restore, to make new. Send your Holy Spirit to give us open hearts to receive those gifts. And we will give you all the praise and glory. And we pray it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.